All right, man, welcome to Pro 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 674. Jason Lindgren is with me, and Clive DeCarl joins us from over across the pond, as they say. Welcome, Jason, and we're going to offer some solutions today. Look, there's a couple things. It's hard to come on the air like this and be upbeat when you're talking about things that people aren't real happy about. But the fact remains that now is the time to shed fear. Now is the time to be grateful for everything you've got. Now is the time to quit seeing Democrats and Republicans black and white and embrace your fellow human being and come together. In the long run, we're going to beat what's going on, but we still have to get through it. Having said that, Clive has a number of solutions. If we find ourselves in a place where we're at home and there's no immediate industry and system to contact for help, would you put that a different way, Jason?
No, I actually think that works, but things are getting on. Just because some things in the world are going better and some things in the world are going worse, it doesn't matter. The powers that be are still taking their slow, methodical steps to get everything locked down the way they want it to. And that's not stopping. We haven't found a way to completely stop that yet. So, yeah, we're still in danger.
Yeah, I think it's going to crumble under its own weight. But as an example, here in Rhode Island where I am, we just doubled the biggest snowfall that was ever put on record. That happened in the 70s sometime, 20 some odd inches. We went over 40 this time. Having said that, for the first time in my life, the plows didn't get in for 2 days and as many as 5 days in some places, which is an example of what's going on with the systems. Everybody sees it. So having said that, I would urge everybody, truly shed your fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. And shedding your fear is to travel in the right direction and to raise your, for lack of better terms, vibration to a more helpful level. But it certainly helps to have the information you need to start taking care of yourself. And that's what this is going to be about in large part. Anyhow, welcome, Clive.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you want to put down your information and let people know where they can contact you to get your things or talk with you?
Yes, I'm easy to find. If you want to email me, info@clivedecarl.com is the best way, info@clivedecarl.com. I also have an information hub called secrethealthclub.com, secrethealthclub.com. At the moment, the UK government basically threatening my information website. And technically, I should have taken it down already, apparently. So we've now we've made a USB stick with all the information, hundreds of videos, hundreds of how to get better videos and articles and so on. We've put it all on interactive USB stick. So if power went down or you lost the ability to sign on to our website, you can have the USB and you can upgrade it as we might get back online. So 30 years ago, I sold my house in England and bought an abandoned property in Spain with land that had been looked after from a farming perspective, naturally, never had any chemicals on it. And for 10 years, we rebuilt the house and lived off-grid, no mains electricity for 10 years. So I've got a little bit of experience as to what to do when you really are pretty much reliant on growing your own food and doing well and being happy and warm and comfortable. So, you know, I'd like to offer a few pieces of advice as to how to cheaply and easily make sure that you're safe no matter what happens.
All right, let me give a heads up before we jump in. What I did last night after communicating with Clive is I take his products every day. I take the magnesium, the B complex, the niacin, just as out the gate starters. And I wouldn't want to have to go without them. So I stocked up because there is a real possibility that supply chains, particularly in crown countries, could see a shutdown or a slowdown or Lord only knows. So if you're one of those people that are like me and you're using these top quality products, might be a good time to get some extra just in case. But having said that, do you want to add anything before we jump in, Jason?
Well, we also use his products on a regular basis. And yeah, you don't get quality like this without having someone like Clive behind it. It's not the same just going on Amazon and randomly buying, I don't want to be rude about it, but junk a lot of times. Would you concur with that, Clive?
Well, unfortunately, yes. you know, the two types of people in business, the ones who want success because that means money, then the ones who want success, which means they're making people feel good. And I much prefer the latter. It's way more rewarding.
I had to go without your magnesium once, and I went to CVS and Walgreens and all the other places around here. What I found was it wasn't the right kind of magnesium. It was too low a dose. And to get the right dose, I'd eat a pound of gel cap. That's an exaggeration, but that's a lot of gel cap that I don't eat at all when I get from you. And by the way, Clive is also the guy that I got my Violet Ray device. And we just saw a post on crow777radio.com. I was talking about how I use the magnesium and other things to master my arthritis in my hands. This person posted about arthritis in their foot. And so I told them how I dealt with it. And they had a Violet Ray device. I think it probably came from you, not sure, but they said they used it a handful of times and it's like night and day. Their foot is no longer killing them. So these are the kind of solutions that Clive is offering. But let's jump in, Clive. Let's say we reach a point where we're a lot more on our own than we are right now. Let's talk about how we take care of ourselves, like maybe heart attacks and other things.
Well, okay, let's start with a heart attack. Let's say somebody comes around to your house and has a heart attack right there in the living room. Well, what are you going to do? What you're going to do is you're going to rush to the kitchen, get some cayenne pepper, mix it with some warm water, stir it up as fast as you can, sit the person up upright, even though they may be not breathing, and pour the cayenne pepper liquid down their throat, right? It's virtually guaranteed that that shock to the system will restart the heart. Now, the upside is they're alive. The downside is they're going to be really angry because you just poured cayenne pepper down their throat. However, they'll come to terms with that.
How much cayenne are we talking about here?
I'd put in a couple of teaspoonfuls. If you give them too much, they're just going to be angry but not dead. So, you haven't got much to lose. They're already dead.
Okay, that's just about the free version because cayenne doesn't cost a lot.
Exactly. I used to carry around, I'd made a tincture of it with alcohol. And for about 8 years, I used to carry it around wherever I'd go, just waiting for somebody to have a heart attack and drop down dead. And selfishly, none of them did.
My dad had a friend who was a medical doctor, one of the earliest holistic doctors I ever met. And he always had cayenne in his pocket. And what he said was he did a lot of work in South America and they didn't get colds and flus like we did. And he attributed that to pepper ingestion.
Well, yeah. Talking about colds, I used to get colds every year, every winter. Then I started taking 10,000 units of vitamin D in winter. Never got a cold again. I mean, 20 years, I haven't had a cold except for one sniffle for 2 hours once. So if you're in a climate where there's not enough sun in winter, one of the great emergency things you can do is to stock up with vitamin D. Vitamin D, a year's supply will cost you $25 or something incredibly inexpensive. So, you don't want to get a cold if the times are hard. I was thinking, what is the number one recommendation I can give that's super cheap, that's easily available anywhere in the world if you try, and that is chlorine dioxide. Now, chlorine dioxide, otherwise known as MMS, can be activated. You take sodium chloride and you mix an acid with it, like vinegar or dilute hydrochloric acid or even lemon juice, and it turns sodium chloride, not salt like chloride, sodium chloride and an acid activator, turns it into chlorine dioxide. Now, this has been known in hospitals for well over 100 years. It is what you might call a fairly normal, not unusual, water purification system. You can buy it on Amazon or wherever you like, two little bottles. You mix them together, one's the activator, and you can purify water that way, and you can also fix anything from malaria to almost everything. There is a book by Andreas Kalker called Forbidden Health, which explains about chlorine dioxide, which is known as CDS. And now you can buy sodium chloride for industrial purposes. If you say you want it for health, they won't sell it to you. But for industrial purposes, you can find it in many countries. England is very difficult to find. But sodium chloride and any type of acid, ideally HCl, you will find remedies for almost everything with that one product. It is essential. Everybody needs it. It's a disinfectant, antibacterial. It's incredible. So that's my number one suggestion.
And censored about as hard as anything I can think of. We just did an episode. It was number 550 with Carmen, and you can actually get it from her. And that would be at myhealinggarden.net. But Clive, how much do you put, like, say I had a gallon of water I wanted to purify, how would I do it?
The way to do it is to buy the book or go online, Andreas Kalka, and look for his instructions, how to make chlorine dioxide. You want the latest instructions. It's incredibly easy. I mean, it's incredibly easy. 5-10 minutes, you've done it. And it's something you have to get right. You must not get it wrong because it's so powerful. You don't want to take too much. I've tried taking too much, and it wasn't pleasant. I felt ill for a few days even. So, but you get it right, you should be absolutely brilliant. And there's a different protocol for each health issue you might be facing, right? Some you might need a higher dose than others, but you need to know how to build up gently. So it's something you have to study. It's not difficult, and I cannot recommend anything higher.
Well, we've done two episodes on it. One was with Carmen. That was episode 550, and another one was with Carrie. That was 667. I would consider them experts, so anyone could go there, I think Healing Garden that I just mentioned, to get it, but you can get information to make sure you're doing it right. But Clive, I think we kind of walked away from the heart attack. You offered, you know, we're all alone in the house, someone has a heart attack. You offered the almost free version of dealing with it. Are there other versions on top of that?
Well, let's say that somebody is now at the stage where they can no longer breathe, but you need to get them to the emergency room, let's say. So what many people have found is they can cough their way to the emergency room. Each cough makes the heart beat. So if your heartbeat has stopped, you can cough your way to the emergency room. But there are so many other very important things really to share. You mentioned magnesium, and if I were to choose any one supplement, it's got to be magnesium, because at this time, you know, in the world's craziness, the stress levels are through the roof for most people. And that's going to burn up their magnesium levels. And, you know, you burn them up and then you get pain and headaches and all sorts of ghastly issues. So that is massively important. But let me bring you back to about 1990, where Cuba, country of Cuba, got the last message from the Soviet Union before it collapsed. And that last message said, the last boat with the oil is on its way. Good luck. So they realized they had about 12 weeks before starvation. So what happened was the government ordered that every pavement, every sidewalk in Havana and the other cities were to be torn up and planted with food. They realized that with no fuel coming, they wouldn't have enough diesel to run the tractors. And they wouldn't have enough diesel to run the trucks to deliver the food, even if they could harvest it. So on average, over the next 2 years, every Cuban lost 20 pounds in weight. Every person on average lost 20 pounds in weight, as essentially, suddenly, their agriculture, which was chemical-based, well, that ended because they couldn't make fertilizers, and the fertilizer materials weren't coming in, so they had to go organic. It took 2 years of struggle. They went organic, and it is a lesson for at least Europe and England right now. You know, we're getting threatened, whereas in America, you've got abundance of everything. And I mean, great thing is there is an abundance of everything. There's so much, particularly in the United States. I just went to my local farmer, a biodynamic organic farmer, and I said, look, would you be kind enough if I paid you to raise 12 chickens for me? I'll take some of the eggs, and whatever eggs are left over, you can keep. Would you do that for me? I said the same with vegetables and fruits and so on. I want to ensure my food security, and I want to have enough to feed my neighbors or whatever it's going to take. But I think now is a time where you've got more time than we have in England to find where the food source. You know, why go to the supermarket when you can cut out the middleman and go straight to the farmer? We need to be making contact with groups of people, all the people, whatever their disposition is, belief-wise. We all need to come together now in a community and make sure that we don't need government. Because when the government comes to help, well, it all goes horribly wrong.
That's a fact. And there are a lot of individuals in this world who feel like we're heading towards an era where there will be no government in the way that we've recognized it. But I imagine we've got a ways to go there. Jason, you want to get anything in? Clive, I want to go back and address things. If you were out camping away from help or in your home, I think these are critical things for people to know. And the cough thing you laid down, I was actually aware of that, and it's a very useful thing to know. But Jason, anything you want to add in?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Clive, but doesn't cayenne pepper have a lot of other health benefits?
Oh, very much so. It creates a rush of circulation. So people have got circulatory issues. Maybe they're getting tingling or numbness or something. Cayenne pepper taken regularly can be massively useful, boosts the heart. You know, it's an amazing substance.
So was that the coverage of heart issues if you're on your own, or did you have others up your sleeve?
Well, in the emergency room, what they do to stop a heart attack right away is to inject magnesium. So let's say you had some magnesium liquid, let's say you'd thought in advance and you'd bought 25 kilos of magnesium chloride, Dead Sea salts, you could make a concentrated solution of that in a very short time and rip their shirt off and rub the magnesium straight into their body, particularly around the heart area, and do that significantly. And that should ease up a heart attack and essentially stop it.
Wow.
Similarly, in the emergency room, you know, they'll use bicarbonate of soda to help with strokes and so on. Bicarb is an amazing material to have around, 100 uses medically. It's an adjunct to chemotherapy. Without the bicarb, chemotherapy would kill people much earlier. You know, bicarb's fabulously inexpensive. You want to make sure that you don't use baking soda, which is similar but has additives, just pure sodium bicarb. It's one of the perfect anti-cancer remedies out there. Again, very, very cheap. And again, it's so powerful that you need to know how to use it. Dr. Mark Serkis published a book about cancer, and he also did one about magnesium and about bicarb. And in his bicarb book, he explained exactly how to use it. And basically, let's say you were to use it just before you went to bed, it would keep you alkaline all night, which is a very healthy state to be in. Somebody had cancer, Mark Serkis suggests that they may want to consider taking it 5 times a day. Now, that's way more than you'd normally recommend. However, 5 times a day, if you're under 45, maybe half a teaspoonful is your maximum dose, each dose. If you're over 45, maybe quarter of a teaspoonful is the maximum dose. I'm not recommending you follow these instructions. However, it's important to get the basic gist that some simple, hugely inexpensive options exist, which are some of the best remedies known to man, and ancient.
Well, this is another thing that I have that me and my wife use daily. We have your powdered vitamin C, and I was trying to get up, gradually up my dose. And then I realized that you had sent me some bicarb. And so anyone who's taken the straight vitamin C knows it can be a shock on the stomach. It can also put you in the bathroom if you do too much at once, but I put like half of a teaspoon of bicarb into a heaping teaspoon of vitamin C, and it's like drinking a vitamin C soda. It's wonderful.
Well, actually, we make that exact mixture, which is called sodium ascorbate, which is what we call the tummy-friendly version. And on the website, there are these two versions, the ascorbic acid version and the tummy-friendly, as you just described it. Sodium ascorbate version. It's a pre-reacted mix, if you like. But it's more dramatic when you do it your way because you get the bubbling.
Right. But when I do it my way, am I still getting the benefits of the bicarb, or is all the acid neutralizing it?
Well, there is some neutralization going on, but you'll still get some benefits from it for sure.
When you cut it and you make your mixture, do you go like 0.5 to 1 or 1 to 1? How do you do the mixture?
It's years ago since I did the formula, but I think it's 1 to 1, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay. Have you done that, Jason? Have you done the powdered vitamin C?
Oh, yeah. We've got a big canister of Clive's vitamin C here. I know Clive doesn't like it, but sometimes I'll take the ester C, the over-the-counter stuff you can buy, but I'll put Clive's in with it and just get a nice, big, tasty, orangey dose of it.
You know, that's one of the things that I take daily. The other is, well, I don't do it daily, but I do it regularly, was the methylene blue, which a lot of people are still arguing about, by the way. But the vitamin C and the methylene blue, when I take it, it gives you a boost, not like coffee, but not a jittery boost, but it kind of elevates everything, if you know what I mean.
I'd like to just go backwards and correct myself. I think the 1-to-1 ratio that I mentioned has got to be wrong. So do your own research on that one, because I just think I'm wrong about that one.
Yeah, I do. I do a fraction of a teaspoon to a teaspoon, and it's more than enough to make it, as you say, tummy friendly.
Yeah. No, I think your suggestion is much more likely to be correct. Yeah, the methylene blue, there's a woman, I don't know whether you get her in America, in England, she suddenly went from nothing to massive, called Medicine Girl, who's been writing hit pieces about how iodine will kill you, magnesium will kill you, vitamin C, everything will kill you. And there's a lot of hit pieces going on, and people should really read hit pieces with a pinch of salt if it's cheap and natural. But even if it's not, you know, methylene blue is far from natural. However, the results with things like Alzheimer's and regaining cognitive function, absolutely incredible. And if we're going to be a little more independent than we have been recently and looking after relatives, we want to make sure that they're not cognitively impaired.
Yeah, even Fortune has been using and looking at methylene blue. A lot of people have pushed, oh, it's synthetic, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. And it's had so much bad press that even well-educated health folks have a dim view of it. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. What's next, Clive?
Well, I'd like to talk about an experience I had 20-odd years ago. I decided to go on a fast, and I was dreading it. I thought, a fast? You know, some people eat to live. I live to eat. I love cooking. I love eating. You know, it's one of my favorite things. So I thought, fast, I'm going to hate it. The weird thing was, after 2 days, I was no longer hungry. I couldn't believe it. On the third day, fourth day, and I totally lost my appetite. It was weird. So I carried on for about 3 weeks. And when I finally came back to eating again, I went into my favorite organic shop. And unlike before, where I was drawn to the cheesy biscuits and the bread and the whatever, suddenly all I wanted was fruit and veg. I totally reset what I really need to eat at a core level. So I think there are two ways that people are going to look at the future if they got, let's say, there's very little food around. The people who believe they're going to starve to death are going to starve to death. The people who realize that actually fasting is incredibly possible. It's so much easier than you think. And I really think that the people who understand that fasting isn't at all the fear that they think, I think they're going to live. You know, if you're desperately thin, maybe fasting isn't a good idea, but anybody's got, you know, enough weight to go around. Long fasts are ridiculously easy. To make it easier for myself, I went to a small island in Thailand, and the only thing that I ate or drank were 2 fresh coconuts a day. I drank a lot of water. I took some bentonite clay for a few days with psyllium husks, lots and lots and lots of water to give myself an enema type clean out. But it's amazing, fresh coconut water, you can survive on that. It's an incredible material. You know, in World War II, they ran out of blood plasma and they weren't near the sea, because you can use diluted seawater instead of blood for transfusions. They use coconut water. It's that incredible.
You know, with fasting, the first time I did it, the first day was so incredibly hard, which is weird because I had gone days without eating. But when I set my mind to do it, it really got on my mind. Then when I got into the second day, and you get through it. But what I found is after you get into it, it's not hard at all. It's almost like your body switches over and wants to keep fasting longer. That's what I found.
Yeah, me too. I mean, another free thing that's worth knowing about, and some people don't like this, is the idea of urine therapy. You know, urine therapy has been written about for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and you can think about using it homeopathically. You can think about actually drinking your own urine. But there's a book, tiny book called The Water of Life, which has loads and loads of examples, hundreds of examples of people who've been cured and what they did to do it with their own urine. And I know somebody did a 28-day urine fast. They didn't drink water. They just recycled their urine for 28 days. He told me that after about, I think, 14 days, he could do, at 40 years old, yoga exercises that he hadn't been able to do since he was like 18. And that 28 days in, every little thing that was wrong with him had just fallen away. And he was, you know, tower of strength. Also, let's say somebody, you're up climbing a mountain and the person you're with cuts their leg open. You want to keep it sterile. What you do is you piss on it. Well-known thing to do if you're stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Urine therapy is a big deal. Jason and I both know someone who is older than us and looks younger than us. And urine therapy and also incorporated other ways is a big deal. And I've told this before, but years ago, there was a TV show called, I don't know, Dual Survival, I think it was. There was this big no-shoes guy that went out places to supposedly survive. And he was with, I think, a ranger or a special forces guy. And this is where I realized instantly that there's something to the urine therapy. They were claiming they needed water badly. And the special forces guy said, you know what? I'm going to pee and drink it to take the edge off. And just the reaction of Cody was his name. Just Cody's reaction let me know instantly that that was scripted in to scare people off ever even considering urine therapy. I wish I could tell you the episode, but the tone and tenor is what instantly let me know there's something to this, take a look. And since then, I've known numerous people who just tout the benefits of urine therapy. And even to this day, it's a very difficult thing to talk about because it's been so succinctly defamed online. But the way that I had it described to me, it's almost like your urine contains a program of precisely what your body needs. And when you re-ingest it, it activates precisely what you're after.
So for those people who go, I could never do that, adjust that mindset because you can do it. But if you just can't, then research the homeopathic use of it. I'd like to go to another thing that's almost free, which is, let's say it's the dead of winter. For some reason, the deliveries of vegetables aren't available and you want fresh veg to keep healthy. Well, for almost no money, you can sprout seeds. So actually for lunch today, I made a soup and I had some sprouts, which were probably about 10 different types of salad seeds, broccoli seeds, all sorts of seeds. And I just put them in the soup that I was making. But normally I'd add them, you know, as a garnish, like a salad sort of thing. So you can buy, you know, by the pound, seeds for sprouting, broccoli seeds, flax seeds, mustard seeds, onion seeds, garlic seeds. There are so many. You can sprout your own fresh salad. You don't need sunlight to do it. They'll happily do it in the dark if necessary. Sprouts do that, come up from underground. All you've got to do is soak the seeds in water for maybe 12 hours and then drain them off, leave them in a mason jar, and then give them a rinse maybe once or twice a day, and you'll see them get bigger and bigger. And when they're the right size, then you can just eat them or indeed cook with them. And you've taken dormant power, stored sunshine, all the energy of the plant in dormant form as a seed. If you sprout it, now suddenly the vitamin content has gone up dramatically. The mineral content's only gone up dramatically. You've unleashed all that sunshine from last year. And if you want really powerful food, you know, for a few pennies, you can have a fresh salad. You can take the bigger things like lentils, sprout them. You can sprout mung beans, which then become, Chinese bean sprouts. You can take a few cents worth of mung beans, and 1 week later, 10 days later, you've got a massive, great stack of bean sprouts. If you like garbanzo beans, you can sprout them. So you can take a pound. Now you've sprouted them. Now you've got 4 pounds because they've grown. And you can make hummus or falafel or, all sorts of things. And you've saved so much money, and you haven't had to carry 4 kilos home. You're only going to have to carry 1 kilo home. But actually, 1 kilo goes an incredibly long way. And if I was stocking up for a case of emergency, one might think of lentils, one might think of rice. But buying beans, the only one you want to avoid, because you can't use it raw, are kidney beans. But all the rest of them are incredibly inexpensive. If you stocked 50 pounds of it as an emergency, you can make all sorts of different meals. And what I've done to stock up to be safe is I've got, for instance, quite large quantities relatively of things like curry powder and tomato paste and all the things that I like that keep pretty much forever, in jars or in tins. So many things are magnificent and inexpensive. I mean, tins of sardines as an emergency protein food don't take up much space, are incredibly filling, and you can't get much healthier in the fish department. Your young fish are great from that perspective.
Okay, so Clive, I want to circle back. What are other things, like if we're independent out camping or we're by ourselves and we can't immediately get help, let's address some things in that vein, because I think, like the cayenne thing and the coughing, these are like life-saving things to know that almost anyone could put to use. And from where I'm sitting, these are handy things to know in an era where almost certainly we're going to become more self-sufficient than we have been.
Yeah. If you're out in the wilds, what I would want to have apart from the CDS, the chlorine dioxide we mentioned, is a small bottle of iodine. Now, if you cut yourself, iodine is probably the best possible thing you could pour on a cut. It's antifungal, antibacterial, anti-everything. It's fantastic. And let's say 150 years ago, if you went to the doctor and the doctor examined you and they didn't know what was wrong with you, they gave iodine. That was the number one thing you did when you didn't know what else to do. And, as you know, iodine settles hormones. It is good to keep your body temperature at the right temperature, stable. It staves off brain fog. It restores the brain to good function, fixes dry skin. It's an amazing product and, again, ludicrously cheap, $25 or something for a year's supply. And you don't need a big amount of it. A small amount goes a long way. And if iodine was all you had to purify water, a few drops in water, leave it for an hour, will purify pretty much any water you can think of. Long term, you don't want to use iodine as your normal water purification method because you'd be in danger of getting too much iodine, which could damage the thyroid. But if somebody used iodine as their water purification for a few weeks, they might find all sorts of wonderful things happen health-wise, like their brain wakes up. Amusing. But chlorine is the opposite of iodine, and you want to make sure that you're not in any way in contact with chlorine, particularly in the shower or in the bath, and filtering your water is as life-saving as anything, you might say. But what else can you do in an emergency? Well, let's say you're poisoned, for example. I'd probably reach for methylene blue as my first remedy. I might go to charcoal. If it's food poisoning, I'd be going straight to charcoal. If it was bad food poisoning, I would go to sodium bicarb to turn the stomach acid off. Normally, you don't want to take sodium bicarb after you've eaten because you don't want to turn off the stomach acid. But if something is making you sick, well, you might as well hit it with the iodine and the sodium bicarb and turn the reaction off and hopefully throw it up. Otherwise, poisoning. But before I get on to poisoning, let's talk about mushrooms briefly.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. What do you think about the iodine test where you put some drops on your forearm and rub it in and let it dry and see how long it stains your skin The idea being, if it absorbs quickly, you probably are short on iodine. And if it stains for a long time, then you probably have enough iodine. Do you find value in that idea?
Well, yes and no. It works 100%, but I can't remember the last time I saw anybody where it lasted on their skin the length it should. All you're going to do is take a shower, and that's going to knock it right down. So the test, in a way, could be ask yourself, have I got dry skin? Have I got brain fog? Have I got hormonal issues? Am I suffering from menopausal symptoms? Have I got dry skin? Have I got a thyroid issue? Is my temperature out of control? Yeah, if you tick one of those boxes, I would say 98% of all of us, or 90% of all of us, are low on iodine.
Well, I know I am not, because I have a mixture of DMSO and iodine that I use from time to time if I ever feel my arthritis coming back. And if I use it, my hand will remain iodine stained for a couple days.
Oh, wow. Well, you're rare. You're rare.
Well, that was one of my dailies. When those years ago, when you started fixing my finger on the air with magnesium, that's when I started to make that one of my supplements that I took regularly, a few drops at a time. And it wasn't long after that I heard about the test. And what was funny, they were saying, if you live near the ocean, then you've probably got enough iodine. Well, I live right on the ocean, and I needed iodine.
Well, it depends how much seaweed is in your bit of ocean. The seaweed makes the iodine, which evaporates into the air around coastal regions. So if you haven't got a lot of seaweed around you, there won't be so much iodine somewhere else.
All right. You're about to hit, what was it, mushrooms?
Yeah. Personally, I love mushrooms. They've just made lion's mane. I think it's lion's mane, one of them, illegal in England. I mean, people have been eating it for hundreds of years. A Chinese staple, grows on woods, you know, it's easy to find, but now they made it illegal, which proves it must work, even though it grows on trees and people have been eating it forever. The government decides you can't have it. So the woods, the forests are full of medicinal miracles called mushrooms. And the point is that you don't want to get it wrong, because you don't want to die. So if you know somebody who knows which mushroom is which, where they grow, I've always found that once somebody has personally shown me the mushroom once, then I've got it. It's not something you need to learn more than once. But from a book, I find it impossible. Impossible. If you can find a mushroom expert who can show you where they are, what time of year, we had great mushrooms growing where I lived in Spain, but you didn't know they were there because they actually grew under the leaves. You had to know where they were, brush the leaves away so you could find them. But the art of knowing which mushroom is which is not only delicious, but from a health perspective, can be fantastic. Not to mention that the magic mushrooms and the Amanita muscaria, if somebody is nervous, anxious, troubled in the mind, microdosing mushrooms or even properly dosing mushrooms can be the ultimate answer for so many people.
So they're actually documenting 100% cures on such things. And microdosing, I believe, is starting to become legal in certain places, but the overall view of things like DMT and mushroom are fully coming on radar. We just talked a little about that in a recent episode.
So, you know, interesting mushrooms grow all over the world. Clearly, modern agriculture has been spraying them out. You know, when I was young, there were mushrooms in every field all over the place, along with the wildflowers. Now, most of them are gone, which is why you need to find out which ones are left and where they are.
You know, in most places where mushrooms grow, you'd be surprised how many mushroom clubs there are where you can contact them locally. And I agree with you, trying to learn from a book, because I tried to do it. That's not the way to go. You just can't really pull it off. And I've talked to people like even David Avocado Wolf. I've taken pictures and sent to him, and he identifies them instantly. But if you have an interest in mushrooms, I would be surprised if you're in any kind of a municipal area that there isn't a mushroom collecting club.
And of course, you can grow them, get the right type of wood material. You know, pretty much every mushroom that grows on dead wood is edible. I don't think there is a poisonous one. Don't quote me on that, but I'm 99% sure. And some of the wood mushrooms taste fantastic. And what you can do is you can buy the logs of the wood. You get them as wet as they need to be. And you can drill holes and put in slugs of the mushroom spore, or you can get them ready-made. And you just got to find the right dark, absolutely, preferably bacteria-free area. But I used to go to Japan, so I used to do business in Japan, and my friend had a wall stacked with, I think it was oak logs, which he'd injected shiitake spores in, and didn't have to do anything, just outside, and it was a constant wall of mushrooms. It was gorgeous.
There are at least two or three places that recently came to be, maybe a couple of more recent, in Rhode Island, where they are doing exactly, they offer people the ability to buy the inoculated logs, but all of a sudden, like when I go out to these farmers markets and things, there's a huge variety of mushrooms now that didn't used to be available. That's another thing that's really coming on radar.
Well, that's absolutely great. If people realize how easy it can be, I mean, people often say, well, look, I haven't got a big space. I've only got a balcony or whatever. Well, with just a balcony, you know, good luck. But nevertheless, there are tricks. And my favorite trick, I think, is using chicken wire. So if you get some chicken wire and make a cylindrical barrel shaped, you know, like a big oil barrel, and then you put it in your restricted space and you put a few inches of soil, and then you put some potatoes, then you put some straw, then you put a few more inches of soil, potatoes, straw, and you go up to the top, maybe six, eight layers, and you water it. So as it begins to grow, you now have a cylindrical barrel shape of greenery, because it's coming out all the sides all the way up. Then a few weeks later, when it's ready to harvest, you start at the top of the barrel, take away the layer of straw, which is right at the top, and under there, sitting right on top, will be new potatoes, small new potatoes. As you work your way down, the potatoes will get bigger and bigger over time. You can do the same with strawberries, you know, vertical strawberries, vertical potatoes, and it looks very, very attractive, and you don't need so much space to do it. Yeah, you do have to water it more, but that can be fun too.
Clive, what was the mushroom that got banned and why?
I think it is lion's mane, but it just escapes me this moment which one it actually was.
If you happen to know, what was it doing to help people?
Oh, it fixed people's health right across the board. I mean, you know, some of the mushrooms are just incredible. You know, I really enjoy making and taking tinctures, you know, mushroom tinctures. Some taste better than others, but every time I take a mushroom tincture, I feel glad that I did it. You know, whether it's reishi or lion's mane or cordyceps, you know, there are some great ones out there. And just because they're banned in England doesn't mean they're banned elsewhere, luckily.
So I found a thread here. Someone was asking, does anyone know why you cannot pick or harvest lion's mane in the UK? The top response, or the first response, is the government is claiming it's very rare now and an endangered species. But that is just from a thread. It's not an official source.
Yeah, and I haven't heard that. I never researched. I just assumed it must be, well, because it's working too well and people are hearing about it.
All right. Well, Clive, let's cover a few of the things that you have on offer. I know a lot of the people that are with us here do like I do, and they have daily supplements they take from you. There's a real possibility, and it's not just Clive in the UK, that supply chains may not be working as freely as they have been. For my part, I backed up my magnesium, my B complex, my niacin. I've already backed up my powdered vitamin C and bicarb that we talked about. Of course, I always have a number of bottles of Lugol's iodine. But what would you add, Clive, if people want to contact you and try to get a cabinet buffer just in case?
Okay. Well, colloidal silver is very important because, let's say you've got an eye infection, you can use it as an eye drop. Ear infection, use it as an eardrop. You've got a tooth infection, you can use it for the teeth. It is the ultimate antibacterial. If you had put it in a cut, it would keep that healthy. You know, so colloidal silver, very, very important. Again, as always, you need to get the right type made the right way. Loads of different types out there. The one I manufacture is 10 parts per million. This is the traditional quantity. Some people sell 100 parts per million. Sounds better, but it's not. 10 parts per million, in my opinion, is ideal. Then fulvic minerals. Let's say that you can't get good food. You're forced to eat food that's poisoned with glyphosate, for example, or the food that just, you know, it's lacking in minerals. Fulvic minerals, which are soil-based natural minerals, come in a tiny bottle, which lasts 3 months. You add it to water. I like to drink it 3 times a day with water. It makes the water incredibly hydrating. It's an amazing supplement, fulvic minerals. And because these fulvic substances are missing generally in any type of processed food or real poorly grown food, fulvic minerals are essential, I think, as a life-restoring thing. I'd be fermenting foods. If you don't know how to ferment foods or drinks, you've never done it, I'd definitely learn how to do it because massive benefits there. Castor oil is well worth researching. Now, from a happiness perspective, people are going to get very worried. We've already talked about magnesium to calm the nervous system. But vitamin B3, niacin, vitamin B3 is also incredible for happiness, as are all the B vitamins. And we do a B vitamin complex, which could really help people. Not only will it boost their energy, but it'll boost their resilience to keep happy no matter what. I think the B vitamins are super important.
And under attack recently. A lot of people have been bad-mouthing B.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, if you're eating lots of meat, then you shouldn't be too short on B vitamins. But the veggies and the vegans in particular, they might feel more tired than they feel they ought to. And that's probably because B vitamins are very difficult to get from vegetables and pulses and so on. You can get them with fermentation, which is one of the reasons that I mentioned that. I would suggest that one looked at, again, let's say you can't get good food properly, then you might want to have MSM sulfur on hand, because MSM sulfur, not only is it one of the great anti-cancer health promoting minerals out there, but sulfur is one of the ultimate detoxification remedies. You know, super important. You know, that along with charcoal, magnesium. Yeah, I mean, I could go on, but if anybody's in doubt but wants to buy a few things, we sell the 30-day rejuvenation pack, which has all the important things that we've spoken on, including selenium, which is just one of the most magnificent supplements that most people just aren't aware that it can help so much.
I keep that one on hand as well.
Yeah, I mean, super important. I mean, somebody's stuck on drugs, can't get off. Selenium, that's going to help them enormously. So we do this pack of 10 products called the Rejuvenation Pack, and I recommend that as a guide, those supplements are a really good place to start. But then on the Secret Health Club, and hopefully on most of the social media platforms, there are loads of videos where I and others talk about how to use these products wisely. And secrethealthclub.com really has all the information. And anybody who realizes, oh my God, it's a pay-to-join club, no worries, just send me an email, tell me you can't afford it, tell me what you can afford. If you can't afford anything, I'll sign you up for free. Everybody gets the info for free if that's what they need. Super important now. We have to just give the information to as many people as we possibly can.
So let me jump in. We're going to wrap up hour one, but I hope people check out that variety pack. I used to have a very dim view of supplements. And that was because, like I said, I used to go to places like Walmart or wherever. And what you get there is not what's available. Quality supplements, I can't imagine going without them, knowing where the nutrition level is in the foods and vegetables we have now. It's made a massive difference in my life. I would urge people to get a variety pack or something, at least just check it out and see if you don't notice a difference. But Jason, anything you want to add before I wrap up hour one, we take a short break?
So, Clive, what are we going to get into in hour two?
Well, I'd like to discuss what our ancestors did before electricity, what they did to keep warm, to keep healthy, just how they did it, because some of the techniques have been totally forgotten and are so simple and amazing. You know, let's say you want to keep meat fresh for 3 weeks, but you don't have a fridge and it's hot outside. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it, because our ancestors worked that out decades ago, centuries ago.
And also, there is a very interesting device that you're keeping alive that you should definitely be talking about in hour two, and a story about what happened when you took it to a conference, so folks can look forward to that as well.
All right. Well, you can contact Clive or view what he's got going on at clivedecarl.com. There is an E on the end of the word Carl. There are links on the sponsorship page at Crow 777 Radio that will get you there directly. We're going to take a short break, come back for hour two. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is CROW777radio.com. Members know to log in to get the full episode, and they get access to Shoot the Moon, which is a 2-hour film that has 10 awards in the world covering telescope work and other things. It's really a pretty good film, if I say so myself. They also get access to all the forums, comments under every episode we do. As well, the images I've been taking with my solar telescope are available on the website. Lastly, membership at Crow 777 Radio gets exclusive access to the solar telescope work that I'm doing. And from my point of view, the age change we're experiencing here, it's the sun that drives that. And I would not be surprised this year or next, supposedly the end of the solar cycles, I think they're saying, was it 28 or 30? I'm not sure. But we will actually see a noticeable difference from my point of view. We're going to take a short break, and I hope to see you back logged in as a member. And I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.